Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org.
Sodom and Gomorrah, what can we learn today from the judgment that took place on that city so many years ago? It's been properly said, there's nothing new under the sun. The judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah speaks to us in every single way in our day. And today we're going to look at that on Abounding Grace Radio. We're going to go back to the book of Genesis and consider why God sent fire and brimstone on that particular city and how that city was to be a paradigm for all of history to understand what the final judgment would look like. So I hope today that as we consider this, we understand the necessity of coming to and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the escape. He's the one that leads us out. He's the one that gives shelter. So Genesis today is going to be so important for understanding what precipitates and what brings about the judgment of God. Tune into Abounding Grace. You can also download these on the website at agradio.org. Again, that web address is agradio.org. Now, here is the program today on Abounding Grace from the book of Genesis, Sodom's Paradigm Judgment.
In chapter 18, we have a fascinating scene. Abraham is sitting by the trees of Mamre in his tent door in the heat of the day. And the first thing that you notice is that the Lord, this is Yahweh himself, the Lord, as he lifted up his eyes, we will see the Lord is appearing to him. He lifts up his eyes, and there are three men approaching his tent. One is the Lord, because we know from verse 16 that the other two are angels with the Lord. Abraham sees these men, and immediately he gets up, and he runs to them, and he treats them as kings. It's a remarkable scene where here he calls Sarah, "You get everything ready." He treats them, he feeds them, he gives them rest. Did you notice how much emphasis is given here on him preparing a banquet and a feast for these men? Verse 5, "I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared, and he set it before them, and he stood by them as they ate under the tree." It's fascinating, isn't it? This passage is generally preached, as I've heard it preached, to emphasize hospitality. And there is no doubt in my mind that the author of Hebrews is certainly referencing this when he wrote, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." But the text is not primarily about hospitality. What is this about? It's drawing an important contrast for you. A very important contrast. We know this reading the whole story and looking back on it. These two angels in the next scene go where? Into Sodom. And so Abraham in the first scene is sitting by his tent door and he immediately shows hospitality. And look at the love, look at the character of what the Lord has worked and the Lord has produced and the Lord has set apart his righteous to be. We're seeing fruits happen here. We're seeing what the believer looks like here. The two men then come into Sodom, and who's sitting in the gate door? Lot. Lot's ready to do the same. Lot's ready to do the same. Lot's ready to demonstrate hospitality. But remember what happened in verse 4 of the next chapter? The men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house and said, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out that we may know them carnally." And all of a sudden, the contrast is real sharp, isn't it? Big contrast. It's showing you the God's perspective of strangers whom he has sent and what the righteous and the wicked look like. Now let me give you a picture of Sodom for a moment. Sodom and Gomorrah. If you were to look at this from Scripture's own description, you would go to the little book of Jude, which is right before the Apocalypse and Revelation. And you'll remember what Jude said about Sodom. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, remember these were the five cities of the plain, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So Jude in the New Testament takes this and says there was an eternal example that was always to be taught throughout the generations about Sodom. What did Sodom and Gomorrah do? Well, the name Sodom, of course, is where we take sodomy, and it is unnatural, perverse, all kinds of unnatural sexual relations, sins. If you read Jewish literature, you'll find that they knew and they understood that every year this was such a wicked area out in the desert that they would have massive festivals and all sorts of gross immorality went on. Jude says they gave themselves over to this. They willingly gave themselves over, and this became the cultural norm of the society. Jude calls it, and I don't like using the original words, I don't do this, but I want you to hear the word ek pornuo. That's what he calls it. It was an extreme form. They were so out of control. They were not even satisfied with their own people. Every stranger who came in the gate, this is what happened. The problem wasn't just this. In Ezekiel chapter 16, this was described. "This was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit." Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, as we go through life and we receive the grace of the Lord, as we see happening here with Abraham and what the Lord is setting him apart to, and look at the hospitality, look at the dramatic contrast that has been set up here between two nations. God's raising up a nation here. Look at that. Look at this nation. And God wants us to see that. And as we're going through this life, as we are moving through, we are bombarded with all of this evil, with the perversity. And guess what begins to happen to the righteous? They don't even think about it. In fact, we just want to stop up our children's ears. We don't want them to think about any of this. And we don't even realize how much our children are hearing and what they're exposed to and what has become so accepted that we're just silent. Silent. And in the process of all of this, we forget how serious God takes this. Why am I saying all of this? Because the connection between Abraham, hospitality, and the separate calling, all set in contrast to Sodom and Gomorrah here, is this. God is ready to judge and destroy Sodom, and guess what? Abraham has no clue. Abraham's not even thought about this. And Abraham has not reflected upon the justice of God. Go through this. The closest thing you would get is when Pharaoh was plagued, but God spared Pharaoh. He's not seen the justice of God. He's not understood the justice of God. He's not seen that played out. And isn't that us? We haven't even begun to taste the justice. We don't want to taste the justice of God. But have we considered it? Do they understand? Did Abraham understand what was going on in the earth? Did Abraham consider this, that this God is we sung out at the beginning of the service, boys and girls, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And does anyone know why God is unfolding this plan? Has anyone considered why God is unfolding this plan? Well, Abraham has really struggled to buy into this plan, hasn't he? Abraham, all along the way, has really struggled to understand why is God doing this and what does all of this even mean? And now you understand what the connection is. Are you ready for the connection? Side by side is the birth of a son and God's justice. See it? This is where the whole narrative is taking us this morning. Why does Abraham need this son? Why couldn't it be just any son? Why couldn't it be Ishmael? And remember, that was the son he had produced by his own efforts. Why couldn't it just be Ishmael? Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael would live before you. He hasn't gotten it yet. Why like this? And that's the issue that God raises in verse 9. What is the question that God... Is God worried about food? What's the first thing God says, the Lord? Where's your wife? I mean, that should give you chills. His focus, his appearance is looking at a lowly woman who's about ready to... A barren woman who's about ready to give birth. Where's your wife? I want to know where she is. She's in the tent. The God of heaven and earth has come down, and His whole desire is set there. At the time of life, I'm coming. It's time, Abraham, it's time. Feel the urgency here? There's an urgency to this narrative. It's time that the Son come. And you should say, why? Why now? Why has the Lord waited? What is He teaching all of us? Feel the urgency. Last week, God said to Abraham, the son is coming. Abraham laughs. God says, really? Then every time you call him a name, it's going to be laughter. Hey, laughter, come here. Laughter, over here. Laughter, take this. That's what Isaac's name means. So a little laughter would run around, and they would have to say laughter over and over and over and over again. And here's Sarah. Sarah is in the behind the tent, and she hears the Lord rehearse the promise again. And what does she do? She laughs. This family has a laughing problem. And the Lord is not happy about this. And think of, now you know who this is, because He can see this emotion, He can see this action, and she's behind the tent. Why is she laughing? I didn't laugh. Yes, she did laugh. I see it. And you put all this together and you see the Lord so patient with these people and He's so patient with us. And what are you seeing here? Not only did they struggle to believe the promise, they had no idea why this son needed to be. They're laughing at the whole thing. Now, put laughter now in connection with justice. It kind of goes away, doesn't it? Why had God come? He's creating a holy nation. Abraham's seed is coming from this nation. And I love this chapter because now he's explaining this to us. At this point, all of a sudden, in verse 16, we read that they rose up and they looked toward Sodom. Wow. It's now late in the afternoon. The sun would have been receding into the corner of the west. Its light would have provided a ray. Gorgeous, looking over Sodom. It's like a beautiful Saturday afternoon in Southern California. The light's just hitting it. God had come to Abraham to bless, but now the other intention is revealed. They rise up. Abraham knows and sees that their faces are set toward Sodom. And right at that moment, the Lord turns to the angels. Think about this question for a minute. Right about that time, the Lord turns to the angels and he says something that drives this whole narrative. Notice what he says. Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Now, you know that was for Abraham's benefit, but ultimately for us. The Lord wasn't about to hide from Abraham what he is about to do. He doesn't do that. Why does the Lord not do that? Because Abraham is functioning as a prophet here, as you'll see. And in Amos 3:7, we have a verse that says, "For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to the servants, the prophets." And then Jesus said regarding you in John 15, "No longer do I call you servants, for a slave, he doesn't know what his master's doing." Remember what I said before, that every single person sitting out here right now who's in the darkness and doesn't believe, they have no idea what's about ready to hit them. No idea. And Jesus looked at all of his people and said, "You know what? I'm not treating you like that. I'm going to make it really clear to you what I'm doing. Why? Because I've called you my friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you." That's why we're in church right now. That's why the Lord is doing this. He's making known to you. So the mark of friendship is witnessed in his desire to make known openly to you his will about what he is doing, and that you would have understanding, that you would grasp this, that you wouldn't be in the darkness about this great plan that he's unfolding. Every time Jesus spoke about being in the darkness, he equated it with unbelief. And he would say things like, "You guys can discern the weather, but you can't discern the time." That's darkness. That's no understanding to redeem the time, to know the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil, so don't be, said Paul in Ephesians, unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what he said to you about the times in which you live and about what's going on and about where it's all going. So, what is God revealing to Abraham? Well, he's about ready to see firsthand God's justice. And what has happened to Abraham, he's completely ignorant to Sodom and Gomorrah and where it's all gone. It hasn't gotten a hold of him. The sexual morality out of control, the gross materialism, the covetousness, the hurting of the poor, it hasn't impacted him. He hasn't felt that. Do you ever look at society and think about this? In Isaiah chapter 5, the Lord described what happens in a society when it's ripe for judgment. Let me read this to you, and you tell me if this is not very familiar to you. "Woe to those who join house to house, who add field to field, until there's no more room and you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. The Lord has sworn in my hearing, many houses shall be desolate, large and beautiful houses without inhabitant." That happening? All the greed, squelching out and pushing out the poor. Greed, 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 greed. Investors, investors, investors. Greed overcame the society to the ruin of the cities and the poor until there were nothing left, until everything had been so shifted out that the society, this is where it went. It had totally corrupted itself. "Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may run after strong drink, who tarry late into the evening as wine inflames them. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight." We have that problem in our country. "Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine, valiant men mixing strong drink. The Lord says, I looked for justice in this society, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, behold, an outcry." Summary: injustice filled the earth. Now, look at verse 20 of our text. "And the Lord said to Abraham, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave. Did you hear what the Lord just said? Every single sin is a cry to Him to make right the wrong that has been worked in the earth. I want you all to feel this morning. It's so important. The Lord said to Cain, your brother's blood does what? Cries. How many cries went up from Sodom? Are you feeling this as you should? What happens to us? Well, we become kind of desensitized to everything, and we're so used to the sin, and the lines of morality get pushed back and back and back, and we just learn to accept it. We learn to buy into it. We learn to stay silent about it, and the next generation comes, and that's all they've known. That's all they've seen, and so now that's the accepted cultural norm. The Lord says to Abraham, consider this. I want you to consider this. Right now, just be quiet for a moment. Be quiet and listen to the cries. Can you hear it? A cry just went up as you're sitting here. Think about the violence. A cry just went up of a woman whose husband beats her, and the Lord heard that cry. And now she sits alone and no one to provide for her, and she's got to take care of her children. The Lord sees that. Right now, an elderly woman just got out of her car and a group of thugs beat her and left her there to die. Right now. And we could just keep going. Right now, a woman is weeping because last night her son was shot and killed. Right now is the cry of a young child, unloved and terrified. Right now are cries of millions of aborted babies right on up to the Lord. Right now are the cries from all of the abuses in the world of prostitution. Right now, a cry of a young person, drugs, killing and destroying him. Right now, all the cries of the poor. Right now, all the cries of the murders that have taken place, which we have no more rooms in our prisons for. I'm going to give you one that you should feel. And if this troubles you, think about it hitting the Lord. I read in the news not too long ago of a woman microwaving her baby. Right now, the cry. If you can barely take that, and you're a sinner, think about the holy, just, perfect God who's ready to make all this right. We hear the cries. We see it on our children. Sin has caused this. And then you start realizing, you know, we're not nearly as sensitive to sin as we should be. You think our land is not ripe? And the Lord is saying, Abraham, you need to understand this. Now, so what you have in verses 22 to 33 is no more laughter. I mean, the laughter's gone. See the contrast here? The Lord invites Abraham into the court. Okay, Abraham. And notice how it says this. Abraham, that the two men lead to Sodom. Abraham's alone. He's standing before the Lord. Court is in session. Abraham's invited into the judgment. But Abraham now begins to intercede for Sodom. Lord, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Big concern. What if there's 50? Wouldn't you spare the city for 50? Far be it from you, O Lord, to slay the righteous with the wicked. Do you see what's happened to Abraham? Now he's completely serious. This is devastating to him. This has overwhelmed him. He is totally distressed because now he's tasting and seeing how just this God is. You can't do that. You can't slay the righteous. For 50, I won't do it. How many inhabitants you think were in Sodom? Lord, just 5. Let me speak. I'm dust and ashes. I know I am. I know I'm just a creation of you. 5 less. 5 less. 45. I won't do it for 45. Lord, I know I'm speaking. I mean, he takes this down. 20. I won't destroy it for the sake of 20. Lord, don't be angry. I'm going to speak once more. Suppose there's 10. One more time. 10 righteous people. I won't do it for the sake of 10. What just happened to Abraham? He felt how great the problem is and that this God can't tolerate it, and he's totally distressed. Now here's the sermon. Do you think now he's prepared to ask what God's going to do with his son? Do you think now he's looking for a son? Because God said, in that son, all the nations of the earth will be what? Blessed. And now you see what's going on here. Back in verse 19, the Lord said something. I have chosen Abraham that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. See the concern of God? Justice, righteousness. So that the Lord may bring upon Abraham and his descendants what he promised. I've set them apart for this. I've made promises to this man that he's going to be a great blessing and a nation, and he will bless all the nations. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, what was one of the purposes of that? It was always for Abraham to teach who? Children. And now we're kind of convicted here because you're seeing a major responsibility of your parenting. I want you as a father to be separate to me. And I want you to show it in the way you train your children. I want you to have them think about judgment and righteousness and sin and the judgment to come.
Thankful you take time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. We do direct you over to the website at agradio.org. You can download the podcast. You can write to us. You can support us. We're thankful for all of your support. We want these messages to be a blessing to you in your understanding of the Christian gospel. Thanks for taking time to tune into Abounding Grace. May the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.